sit and close her eyes and use her imagination. A comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite shows. Radio, oh, why did you ever go? Oh, won't you please come back and entertain us? I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you so.
Once again, it's time for Yesteryear. A look back at your favorite dramas, westerns, comedies, and musical variety shows from the golden age of radio. Here's your host for Yesteryear, Craig Roberts.
Well, it's time once again to settle into your favorite easy chair for another hour of vintage radio. Later on, we'll delve into police action with The Lineup. But first, on the lighter side, it's the Jack Benny Show from Palm Springs. The Jack Benny program spanned 23 years with great success all along the way. In 1932, Jack was a top stage headliner when columnist Ed Sullivan asked him to appear on a CBS interview program. His own program, premiering on NBC in May of 1932, was a solid hit. Mary Livingston was created within the first couple of years. In fact, the script had called for a young female Benny fan crashing the show, but after auditioning several actresses for the part, Benny gave it to his wife. It was one of his best decisions, for Sadie Marks adapted so well to the brash, peppery role of Mary that her real identity was soon forgotten. Eddie Anderson, the gravel-voiced black comic who became known to the world as Rochester, was originally signed for a one-shot appearance as a Pullman porter for the Easter Sunday program of 1937. By 1949, CBS scored the greatest coup in broadcasting, luring Benny away from NBC in a deal that involved some $2 million. Return with us now to those fabulous days of yesteryear with the Jack Benny program from the archives of yesteryear.
Major Bowes, I miss the shadow nose, Fred Allen's alley folks, the laughter of Duffy's Tavern, Helen Trent. Oh, then we went to Can You Top This? Suspense in the Whistler sent those shivers up our spines. Uncle Don, I wish that he was on. Jack Armstrong, Merton Marr, Jameis, and Andy. I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you. Sodio, vodio, dodio, do. Radio, I miss you so.
The Jack Benny Program. California, the Lucky Strike program, starring Jack Benny, with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, we're broadcasting from Palm Springs, California. This being such a romantic spot, I'd like to make the opening introduction with a little poem.
A poem?
Nestled in the hills, far away from care, is a place we go to breathe the desert air. And there, out by the pool, far from strife and toil, is our blue-eyed star selling suntan oil. And here he is, Jack Benny!
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hello again, this is Jack Benny talking, and Don, since we're in a poetic mood, I've written a poem for you, too.
Oh, you have?
Yes. I did not like your jingle, and if one more joke you tell, it's Bon Voyage, Don Wilson, and Welcome Home, Von Zell. let's not have any more of your poems, eh, Henry Wadsworth, fat fellow?
Now, wait a minute, Jack. If you get fresh with me, I'll follow you around all day and keep you in the shade.
Oh, yes, yes, I'm sorry. Well, anyway, it's sure good to get back to Palm Springs, isn't it, Don?
Yes, Jack, I always have a wonderful time here.
I do, too, particularly because a fellow can have such privacy here. You know, Don, yesterday I passed a big crowd in front of the drugstore, and not one person turned around or even bothered to look at me.
Really? Well, Jack, why were there such a crowd gathered?
They were getting Eddie Cantor's autograph. Imagine.
But, Jack, if you say people here have so much privacy, why did they ask Eddie Cantor for his autograph?
They didn't ask him.
They didn't?
No. Don, when a man stops you on the street, sings two choruses of Ida, then stamps his name on your forehead, there's nothing you can do about it. What an eager beaver.
Jack, you're just mad at Eddie because he beat you on the golf course yesterday.
Sure, but he wouldn't have beaten me if he'd have played fair.
Fair?
Yes, imagine this, Don. When we both got on the last green, just as I was getting ready to putt, he put down a dime to mark his ball.
What's wrong with that?
He divided my point of interest. Then when I missed the putt, I got so mad I took a swing at the dime and sliced it right into my pocket. The first hole in one I ever made. Anyway, Don, I'm glad you mentioned golf because tonight our program is dedicated to the formal opening of the new Tamarisk Country Club here in Palm Springs. And it's really one of the most beautiful
golf... Hey, pardon me, but does this dull twosome mind if a funny man plays through?
Oh!
Hiya, folks.
Well, look who's here. Sir Thomas Beecham. Say, Phil, Don and I were just talking about Tamarisk, the beautiful new golf course. Since you're such a good golfer, Phil, you'll love it.
Yeah, I know, Jackson. I played in the tournament out there yesterday. It is. It's a great course.
I thought I saw you out there yesterday, Phil. You were playing with some of your musicians, weren't you?
No.
Well, I saw Remley, Sammy, and Fletcher going around the course with you.
Yeah, but they weren't playing. Remley was carrying my bag.
Well, what was Sammy doing?
He was carrying Remley.
Well, what was Fletcher doing?
He was carrying the stuff that made it necessary for Sammy to carry Remley.
Oh, yes, Remley is your handicap.
He ain't no water hazard.
I know, I know.
Hey, Jackson, how about you and me playing out at Tamarisk someday?
Okay, Phil, maybe we can make a match.
Yeah, what do you usually go around then?
Well, my handicap is... Hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Hey, Don. Don, watch me. Watch me get him this time. Phil, ask me that again, will you?
Ask you what again?
What do you usually go around in?
Shorts or slacks, depending on the weather. Oh, Harris, Sammy may be carrying Remley, but you're carrying this program.
Phil, if that joke is carrying the program, I'd rather dragged a little bit. Anyway, I'll play golf with you anytime you want to.
Okay, Jackson, how much you want to bet?
I don't want to bet anything. All I want you to do is every time we get on the green, mark your ball with a dime.
Dime? Why?
I got a slice that'll make me a fortune. Say, Don, if you like to play a Tamarisk sometime, I'll get you.
Hey, Jackson, I heard you and Don reciting poetry before.
So what?
Hey, I got one that's a fit.
A poem?
Yeah. It's about the weather that we had yesterday. Listen to this. I was getting some sun. Then I went inside. 'Cause the little white cloud sat down and cried.
You know, I expected... Oh, hello, Dennis.
Hello, Mr. Benny. Hello, everybody.
Well, Dennis, I hope you're having as much fun in Palm Springs as we are.
I sure am, but boy, am I tired.
Tired? What have you been doing?
Well, last night I went to the movies and I had to stand for 2 hours.
That crowded, huh?
No, there was plenty of room.
Then why'd you have to stand in the movie?
I went to a drive-in and I didn't have a car.
Now, wait a minute, Dennis. How did you get into a drive-in without a car?
Oh, I was carrying an umbrella, and they thought I was a convertible.
Oh, stop being silly. What's that on your nose?
A windshield wiper.
What? Now, cut that out! Windshield wiper. I suppose that thing on your forehead is your license number.
No, Eddie Cantor's autograph.
Oh, yeah. Now, Dennis, stop being silly and answer me. Are you having a good time?
Oh, I'll say. Friday night, I went to the Chi-Chi and saw Sally Rand. I never laughed so hard in all my life.
You know, Don, the weather here has been so beautiful today.
Wait a minute, hold it.
back here a minute. Look, didn't you listen to what this kid just said?
I listened to it, heard it, and ignored it.
Well, I ain't going to ignore it. Dennis, you went to the Chi-Chi and saw Sally Rand's act?
Uh-huh.
The Sally Rand?
Uh-huh.
And when you finally saw Sally Rand's act, you, laughed?
Yeah, I was sitting up so close, those fans tickled.
Don't look to me for sympathy, Bill. Years of experience have taught me that the only way to get along with Dennis have nothing more to do with him than is necessary. Like this, for instance. Now, Dennis, we're doing a program and you have to do a song.
Yes, sir.
What song are you going to sing?
The date boats are coming.
You mean shrimp boats?
This is Palm Springs, bud.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead and sing. Sung by Dennis Day and accompanied by Phil Harris and his stumbling tumbleweed orchestra. And now, folks,
hold it, Melvin. Just a minute. Just slow up a minute.
Huh?
I mean, look, I don't mind so much when we're at home, but when we're out of town, let's don't be making insulting remarks about the orchestra, huh?
Well, Phil, I got a right to make comments about your band. After all, who's the star of this show?
Well, when I see my paycheck, I know it ain't me.
Oh, stop complaining.
I'm not complaining, Jackson. It's just that I'd like to pay income tax like everybody else.
What?
They don't even think I'm a citizen.
Phil, the only reason people don't think you're a citizen is because with that bottle of Lord Calvert in your hand all the time, you look like an Englishman. Such a long line for such a little laugh.
So don't argue with me about money, salary,
or it. Come in.
Hello, Mr. Benny.
Well, Mr. Gibson. Mr. Ketchel, it's certainly nice seeing you. What are you doing here in Palm Springs?
Oh, I just came down for a little visit.
Oh, good, good. Where are you living?
At the Hacienda Paseo de la Sal.
The Hacienda Paseo de la Sal?
Sal is my brother-in-law.
Oh. Oh, he's married to your sister?
Yeah, her name is Hacienda.
Well, what about Paseo?
He's a silent partner.
Oh, I see. Well, tell me, Mr. Kitzel, is your wife is here with you?
Yes, and are we having fun? We go swimming, we play tennis, and you know this morning my wife rented a bicycle built for two.
Oh, and you both went for a ride, huh?
No, just her.
Then why did she get a bicycle built for two?
Believe me, she can use it.
Mr. Kitzel, you mean your wife is on the heavy side?
If it was only on the side, I wouldn't mind.
Oh, well, what's the difference? As long as you're in love with her, Mr. Kitzel, that's all that matters.
That's what I keep telling myself. Well, goodbye, Mr. Benny.
So long, Mr. Kitzel. Thanks for dropping in. Well, it seems that everybody's in Palm Springs this week.
You know, Jack, I'm glad I'm here, too, because I did some research on this community that I'm sure will please our sponsor very much.
Please a sponsor? Why, Jim?
Well, what's the name of the company that makes Lucky Strike cigarettes?
The American Tobacco Company.
That's right. Now, who were the earliest Americans in America?
Why, the Indians, of course.
That's right. Now, here around Palm Springs, there are many Indians. So, yesterday I went out in the desert till I met some members of the tribe that first settled Palm Springs. The Coahuila Indians.
The Coahuila?
Yes, and do you know what those Indians said to me?
No, Don, what? Oh, for heaven's sake. What else? What else do they say, Don?
Me, like 'em, Lucky Strike. Me, send 'em smoke signals. L.S., M.F.T. 'em. L.S., M.F.T.
T.M.?
You betcha, Lucky Strike, heap round, heap firm, heap fully packed, heap free and easy on the draw.
Now look, Don.
Don't call me Don. Me, heap big Indian chief.
You big heap, that's all. And I got another word here. Ugh. What's that?
They send them signals from reservation. It say only fine tobacco can give them good taste in cigarette. And don't let any drum tell you different.
Don, that was very good. What are those horses' hooves?
Commercial finish. Take them plugged back to reservation.
And Don, that was a very educational commercial, but you made one little mistake. It was the Tokwitz Indians who founded Palm Springs, not the Coahuilas.
Oh, no, you're wrong, Jack. It was the Coahuilas.
I'm not wrong, Don. I'll prove that I'm right. There happen to be quite a few Indians in the audience, so I'll ask one of them. I'll ask that one in the front row. He must be a chief. He's wearing a headdress. Excuse me, but was it the Tokwitz Indians or the Coahuilas who founded Palm Springs?
I don't know.
Well, what tribe do you belong to?
I don't know.
Well, where's your reservation?
I don't know.
You don't know anything. You're a fine Indian.
I'm not an Indian.
Then how come you're wearing those feathers in your hair?
I went to the Chi-Chi last night and sat too close.
Well, then, Smarty, if you went there last night, you must be an Indian because I know you had a reservation. Hey, Hey, that was pretty funny, wasn't it, Dennis?
I don't know.
Look, Dennis, why don't you just... I'll get it. Hello?
I have a long-distance call for Jack Benny.
This is Jack Benny.
It's Collect. Hello? Hello?
I'm here. A Collect call, huh? Operator, find out who's calling.
Just a moment. Mr. Benny will not accept the charges till he knows who's calling.
Tell him it's Lana Turner.
Rochester. Rochester, I thought you'd be down here by now. Where are you calling from?
Pomona.
Pomona? What'd you stop there for?
I got a flat tire.
Oh, that's too bad.
No, that's good. It was laying in the road, and it's better than the one we had on.
Oh.
If I find three more, I'll be there by morning.
Well, you better be here by morning. I'm going to play golf, and I want you to caddy for me.
Oh, boss, I hate to caddy for you at Palm Springs.
Stop complaining. Tamarisk is a very level course. There's nothing tough about it.
Nothing for you, but how about me? I have to carry a golf bag, 12 clubs, a basket of sandwiches, a gallon of lemonade, a first aid kit, and a parasol.
So what?
You don't need a caddy, you need a burrow.
Oh, Rochester, you don't carry so much.
I don't. Remember what happened last time I went out loaded down like that?
What happened?
An old prospector tied a rope around my neck and led me off into the mountains.
Why'd you go with him?
I couldn't see where I was until he unloaded me.
Well, stop making things up. Anyway, I'm going to play golf in the morning, and I want you to caddy.
Okay, I'll do it, but do me a favor this time, will you?
What is it?
If we lose a ball, let's forget it. Those bloodhounds are hard to handle.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Rochester. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, in honor of the opening of Palm Springs' newest golf course, Tamarisk, we are going
to... Jack, before we go any further, I must tell you something, and I know you're going to be surprised.
Surprised? What is it, Don?
There's a friend of yours who also belongs to Tamarisk, and he'd like to come on and say a few words.
A friend of mine? Is it Mr. Anderson, the president of Tamarisk?
No.
Well, is it Ben Hogan, the pro at Tamarisk?
No.
Well, who is it?
Danny Kaye. Come on in, Danny!
Danny Kaye!
Danny?
Hello, Jack Benny.
But, Danny, this is such a surprise coming right out on my program. It's...
Oh, stop stuttering. I'm not going to charge you for it.
Oh.
Now, Jack, the reason I'm here is, well, because every time you come to Palm Springs, you always do an informal show, isn't that right?
That's right.
Well, some of the boys at the club cooked up an idea that I'm sure you're going to like.
What is it?
Well, we decided to form a quartet and sing the song you wrote.
My song?
Mm-hmm.
When you say I beg your pardon, then I'll come back to you.
Suddenly I'm sick.
What?
Oh, anyway, Jack, the other three fellas are out outside. Can I call them in?
Three fellas, who are they?
Yeah, well, Frank Sinatra, George Burns, and Groucho Marx.
Groucho. Hello, fellas.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. That's brilliant dialogue.
Well, welcome to the show, fellas. And if you say the magic word, you get a bottle of suntan oil.
Say, Jack, that reminds me.
Huh?
Jack?
What?
That reminds me.
Huh?
That bottle of suntan oil you sold me was much too greasy, and boy, was I embarrassed.
Why? What happened?
Well, yesterday when I put some on, I slipped right out of my suit.
Kidding.
Look, fellas, I came here to sing, so let's do it and get it over with, okay?
Okay.
When I
okay.
Say I beg your pardon.
Oh, hold it, hold
it. Get it,
when I say...
Groucho, that's me.
I may sing lousy, but I'm grammatically correct.
I'm sorry.
I'm Groucho.
Fellas, come on, now. Let's sing Jack's song. And fellas, I want to tell you how much I appreciate your coming over to do it. No one but real friends, real pals, would give up a Sunday afternoon just to come over here and do this wonderful
Jack.
Song. What?
Shut up.
Oh.
All right, fellas, let's take it.
Now, what key are we going to sing it in, Danny?
It'll help if we all take different ones.
All right, fellas, let's go. Can we have a nice introduction, please? Now,
when I say I beg your pardon,
then I'll come back to you. When you ask me to forgive you, I'll return.
Like the swallows at Serrano, return to Capistrano.
For you, my heart will always, always yearn.
Will always yearn. Then I will understand. Beneath the harvest moon will pledge our love. Now, honey, child, don't be listening to anybody else. So we're parting, going back to whence we started. And sweetheart, I'll come back to you.
Bum, 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 bum. When I say a big party, and then I'll come back to you.
Though we parted, come back to when we've started.
And sweetheart, I'll come back to sweetheart.
Gentlemen, I want to thank Danny Kaye, George Burns, Frank Sinatra, Groucho Marx, and Benny Rubin for appearing on my program today. We'll be back with you next Sunday on radio at the same time and on television a half hour later, when I hope you will all be watching. Excuse me. Hello?
Hello, is this Jack Benny?
Yes.
Is this the Jack Benny that was born in Racine, Wisconsin?
No, I was born in Waukegan, Illinois.
Well, you got a sister named Jeanette, haven't you?
No. My sister's name is Florence.
Well, are you the Jack Benny that drives a light green DeSoto?
No. I have a Maxwell.
But you play the piano, don't you?
No, I'm sorry. I play the violin.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Jack, who was that?
A phone call from a stranger.
To you by Lucky Strike, product of the American Tobacco Company, America's leading manufacturer of cigarettes. This is Don Wilson reminding you to listen to Your Hit Parade with Guy Lombardo every Thursday night, presented by Lucky Strike. Stay tuned to the Amos and Andy Show, which follows immediately. This is the CBS Radio Network.
From March 30th of 1952, it's been the Jack Benny program from Palm Springs. In a moment, the lineup with Young Woman Murdered, as this edition of Yesteryear continues.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio
continue with yesteryear. Here's Craig Roberts.
The lineup took its listeners behind the scenes of a police headquarters in a great American city. Bill Johnstone, one of the early stars of The Shadow, took the title role of Lieutenant Ben Guthrie, with Wally Mayer as his sidekick. The dramas were built around a police lineup gimmick. Scripts were fast and realistic, with Johnstone's easygoing character portrayed in a hot gunfire headiness. Music was by Eddie Dunstetter. The CBS series was first heard in July of 1950 and continued for 3 years, on Thursdays, then Tuesdays, and finally Wednesday evenings. Return with us now to those exciting days of yesteryear with The Lineup and The Case of the Young Woman Murdered, from November of 1952, another classic radio program from the audio vault of yesteryear.
The Lineup. Ladies and gentlemen, we take you now by transcription behind the scenes of a police headquarters in a great American city, where under the cold, glaring lights will pass before us the innocent, the vagrant, the thief, the murderer. This is The Lineup.
I've never been anywhere near criminals before, Lieutenant.
Well, there's nothing to be nervous about, Mrs. Tyson.
Well, I hope not.
Here, sit right here.
Oh, I can't help thinking about that poor girl. What happened to her?
Now, don't worry, Mrs. Tyson. They can't see you.
I hope not.
May I have your attention, please? You people out there on the other side of the wire in the audience room, may I have your attention, please? Thank you. My name is Cogger, Sergeant Pete Cogger. I'll explain the lineup to you. Each of the suspects you will see will be numbered. I'll call off a number, their name, and charge. If you have any questions or identifications, please remember the number assigned to the prisoner as I call his name. At the end of each line, when I ask for questions or identifications, call out the number. If you're sure or not too sure, the suspect, have him held. The questions I ask these suspects are merely to get a natural tone of voice, so do not pay too much attention to their answers, as they often lie. All right, bring on the line.
I thought even you said moment, they couldn't see us.
They can.
That's right.
Close.
Step it up
right they can't
the
see
end.
Through that screen.
Now turn all of you and face the screen. When you answer my questions, sing out. The people on the other side of the screen want to hear you. All right, number one, David Shatlock, Grand Theft Auto. Step right up there, Dave. That's it. Where do you live, Dave?
Scotland Town.
Where do you come from, Dave?
Detroit.
Look at the screen, not the floor. What were you doing at the filling station?
What filling station?
The arresting officers picked you up at a filling station at 9th and Central.
Is that what it was?
Where'd you get the car, Dave?
What car?
The car you were driving when the officers arrested you.
Wasn't driving no car.
How'd you get here from Detroit?
I drove.
The car had California plates.
It did?
Where'd you get it, Dave?
I don't own no car.
Recognize him, Mrs.
All right, slide down, Dave.
No, that isn't him.
Number two, Charles Whiteside, aggravated assault. Step right up, Charlie. That's it. Where do you live?
Canton Street.
Sing out, Charlie.
Canton Street.
What number?
2300 something, I don't know.
How long you lived there?
2 days.
Where'd you live before that?
I was on the road.
Anybody arrested with you?
Yeah.
Oh.
Dutch.
What's his full name?
I don't know.
I do. Francis Dutch Kramer. He'll be number 8 in the next line. Anybody else?
Yeah. A couple of guys. Stu and Fink.
Stu Humboldt, Fink Halverson. They'll be in the next line, too. You know why you're here, Charlie?
Yeah.
Why?
Cops said we slugged a guy.
Did you?
I guess.
Why, Charlie?
He tried to roll us.
One guy tried to roll the four of you?
So he ain't bright.
All right, number 3. Thomas Kreutzer, open charge. Step right up and face front, Tom. That's right. Where do you live, Tom?
6231 Grove Court, Sergeant.
What do you do for a living?
Building superintendent.
A janitor? Know why you're arrested, Tom?
Oh, I imagine it's about that girl who was found murdered, isn't it? That Jean Bellamy.
What do you know about it, Tom?
Well, read about it in the papers. It was a brutal thing, beaten to death like that.
That's all you know?
Yeah. Brutal thing, though.
What were you doing at the Brent Freeway underpass, Tom?
When you mean, Sergeant?
when the officers picked you up?
Oh, I was walking home from work.
At 2 in the morning?
Well, I often work late at night. That's what I was doing last night. I was working late.
That girl was found dead in the underpass, Tom.
Yeah, I know that, sir.
How do you know?
Well, I read about it in the papers.
Any questions or identifications from the audience?
Just a minute, Sergeant.
What do you think, Mrs. Tyson?
I don't know, Lieutenant. It could have been him, the man I saw. And then it couldn't. I don't know, Lieutenant.
Better hold number 3, Sergeant.
Where's number 3, Ben? Tom Crutcher.
Quine's bringing him up.
Oh. Your witness identify him?
She saw someone running away from the underpass about the time Gene Bellamy was killed, but she wasn't too sure it was him.
It's like everything else about this killing. Nobody's sure of anything.
Except that Gene Bellamy was murdered.
How much you got on it, Ben?
There it is.
Age 23, Caucasian, single, lived at 421 Hampton Court. Mm-hmm. What's the landlady say?
Had an apartment there alone, quiet, respectable. Went out a lot, but no parties in the apartment. Worked as a car hop at Rutgers Drive-In. There 6 months, one of the top girls. Friendly with everyone. Left work alone at 8 o'clock the night she was killed.
Looks like that's all, huh?
That's it. Can't find anybody who saw her from the time she left work until the squad car found her in the underpass at 1:17 the next morning.
It makes it tough. Deal like this, no suspects, no motives, no witnesses.
Maybe Crutcher will clean it up for us.
Pretty optimistic.
I said maybe.
Here, yeah, Tom.
Cheers,
sir. You met Sergeant Carter on the line, Tom? This is Lieutenant Guthrie.
Glad to know you, Tom.
Sit down, Tom.
Thank you.
Know why you're here, Tom?
Well, no, not exactly. No. Somebody out there identifying me for something?
Should they have?
Well, I don't know. After all, this big, important murder and everything really made a big splash in the papers, didn't it?
Murders usually do.
Yeah, lots of publicity, all right.
You said you read about the murder in the papers.
That's right. I could hardly miss it, all the headlines and everything.
That all you know about it?
Well, why should I know anything else?
Well, we're asking you.
Yeah, coffee smells good.
You want some?
No, no, thank you. It keeps me awake.
What do you know about the murder, Tom?
Well, where do you want me to start, Lieutenant?
You killed Gene Bellamy?
Oh, yeah, of course I could.
Why, Tom?
Oh, I guess I love Gene too much, Lieutenant. I guess that's why I killed him.
Tell us about it, Tom.
Oh, it's really pretty simple. It's like I said. See, you know, Lieutenant, I think I changed my mind.
What?
About that coffee. Could I have a cup of that, please?
I'll get it.
You said it was pretty simple, Tom.
Oh, yeah, like I said. You see, I loved Jean, only she didn't love me. There was a story like that once in a magazine I read. They called it Unrequited Romance. That sounds pretty, doesn't it? Is that coffee ready, Sergeant?
Yeah, here it is, Tom. Cream? Sugar?
No, black, please.
Yeah?
Where'd you kill her?
Well, it was in the Brent Freeway underpass. It was 2 nights ago. You see, she'd finally agreed to go for a walk with me after she got through work. She never had before, so she said she would that night. I guess she was just sorry for me. I didn't ask her to be sorry for me. That's not what I wanted from her, but I guess she was in here. So we went for a walk.
To the Brent Freeway underpass?
Yeah, that's right.
What happened then, Tom?
Hmm?
What happened in the underpass?
Well, I killed her.
What'd you use?
Say, that coffee's good. Probably keep me awake.
What did you use, Tom?
What weapon, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, it was an old piece of pipe I found in the underpass. You know, it's funny, I was going to kill her all the time, but I hadn't figured out how yet. And I saw that old piece of pipe there. I guess I was lucky.
What'd you do with it afterwards, Tom?
The pipe, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, there's that lagoon near the underpass. The water's pretty deep there, I understand. I threw it in there. That made it a pretty perfect crime, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Say, you know, Lieutenant, I'm sorry.
What about?
Well, because I threw that pipe away. That would have made things easier for you, the fingerprints and everything. Yeah, I guess that was a mistake.
It wasn't your biggest one. What do you think, Ben?
Well, Kreutz's story checks out.
Only you don't believe him.
Everything he told us he could have read in the papers. All we've got is his confession. No corroborating evidence.
Yeah. It'll make it tough on us if he's a confessing Sam.
Oh, Doc Gorson will know.
Is he finished with it?
Yeah, let's find out.
That's coming. Lieutenant Guthrie and Sergeant Carger. What kind of troubles bring you here, gentlemen? Mental, physical, or romantic?
Just tell us how romantic Kreutzer's confession was, Doc.
Oh, yeah. Thomas Alva Kreutzer. Interesting character, Thomas. Freud would have had a field day with him. He's a confessing Sam.
Well, there's a day and a half shot.
What makes a guy do a thing like that, Doc? Confess to a crime he didn't commit?
It's a curious phenomenon. If you have a couple of hours to spare, I'd be happy to...
We'll see you around, Doc.
No intellectual curiosity. All right, chalk it up to an irresistible psychological need for attention.
Why not boil it down that way in your report?
Taxpayers fire me for not giving them money to it. Orson, he's right here, Kevin. For you, Guthrie.
Oh. Thanks. Guthrie.
Waldo, Ben. Got something for you on that Bellamy girl.
Be right there.
Confessing Sam, huh?
Yeah, looks like it, Bill.
Well, here's something else for you to work on.
Huh?
Black address book.
Gene Bellamy's?
That's right.
Well, it did turn up.
Came in the mail this morning.
Anything with it? Note, letter?
Yeah, just that. Plain envelope, addressed with letters cut from newspaper headlines. Dropped at 5th and Central around 5 o'clock yesterday afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Any prints?
Letter carriers, sorters, Gene Bellamy's. Some partials from another woman's left hand.
What did Leighton Prince say?
No record. They're forwarding to the FBI.
Mm-hmm. Hey, plenty of names in this book. All men. Must be 56 of them.
77, Ben. Now find out which one killed her.
Can we talk about this in the hall, Lieutenant? My boss finds out the cops are talking to me.
That's okay.
Thank you. Look, Lieutenant, about this Jean Bellamy, I don't know nothing about it.
Well, you knew her, didn't you?
Oh, sure, I knew her. Well, that is, I took her out twice, and that's all, Lieutenant, honest.
And when's the last time you saw her?
Oh, maybe a year ago, a year and a half. She phoned me a couple of times afterwards, asked for money, but I didn't see her again, you see. I don't know nothing about this, Lieutenant, honest.
Yes, that's right, Lieutenant. Jean and I were quite friendly for a while.
Now, how long ago, Mr. Havercamp?
We stopped seeing each other about 6 months ago.
Why was that?
I came to my senses, I guess. I'm a married man, 2 children in high school, an elder of my church. I'm quite ashamed of myself now, but a beautiful girl like Jean can have an awful hold on a middle-aged man, Lieutenant.
Sure, Jean went for me in a big way, Sergeant. We hit the hot spots together for a while. I haven't seen her for maybe 2-3 months now. You know how it is, Sergeant.
Well, what hot spots did you hit, Richie?
Well, there was always one joint she wanted to go to. Or on Clawson Avenue, the Blue Parrot. Always the same joint. But what's to do in a nightclub? I got tired. You know how it is.
Blue Parrot. Looks like a dump.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's not too busy.
Well, it's early yet.
Probably be jammed another hour or two.
Yeah.
Come on in, boys. Got a good table for you right over here.
Are the manager in?
Oh, that lazy creep don't get here this early. Tell your troubles to Alma.
We want information, Alma.
Cops?
That's right.
Let's see.
Sure.
Uh-huh. Let's talk over here. Sit down. Have something on the house.
No thanks.
Sure?
No thanks.
Hey, give me a bourbon on rocks, Joe.
Okay, Alma.
What's on your mind, boy?
Jean Bellamy.
That figured.
You knew her?
Sure, real tough break for that kid.
Now, what can you tell us about her?
Oh, swell kid, always laughing like a good time. Nuts for the kind of music they play here.
She hung around here a lot?
Yeah, almost every night.
Why?
She wasn't out on the town, if that's what you mean.
She knew lots of men.
She wasn't out on the town. Just didn't want to be a car hop all her life, so she was looking for the right guy.
She ever find him?
Yeah, she said she did.
When?
The night she was killed.
She was in here then?
That's right.
Anybody with her?
Here you are, Alma.
Thanks, Joe.
Who was with Jean that night?
Nobody.
You sure?
I said nobody.
What about this guy she said she'd found?
She just said she found him.
Give you his name, anything else about him?
Nothing.
What time did she leave here?
Oh, 11:30.
Alone?
She met somebody outside.
Man?
Yeah.
Ever seen him before?
Yeah, he used to come here with Jean pretty often. I haven't seen him for 6 or 8 months, though.
Know his name?
No.
What's he look like?
Oh, he's maybe 45, 50, medium height. Has a little scar on the corner of his mouth. Horn-rimmed glasses. Nice-looking guy.
They live in a car?
Yeah.
What kind?
I don't know. It was a nice-looking car, pretty new. I don't know what kind, though.
What color was it?
Blue, I think. Some kind of light blue.
Did you happen to notice the license number?
Hey, do you ever play license plate poker?
Trying to make the best poker hand out of the numbers you see in license plates?
Yeah, I play it all the time. Make mind bets with myself. Sounds crazy, but I like it.
What about it?
Well, when I come in here that night, the best hand I'd seen was 2 pair. 9s over deuces. The guy who drove Jeannie away that night beat me.
You remember what he beat you with?
A low straight. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
You sure about that?
Yeah. Sure looked like a good bet for a winning hand.
Not for Jean Bellamy, it wasn't.
How'd you do, Pete?
You were right about our man, Ben.
Get the report for motor vehicle?
Yeah. License number 10X45678. Issued to John W. Havoc Camp, 611 Nestor Drive.
From Alma's description, it had to be him.
He was driving a coupe the day we questioned him.
Well, that was his wife's car. Neighbors say he hasn't been driving his sedan since the day after Jean Bellamy was killed.
Anybody checking for it?
Quine's been out all day. I gotta get some cigarettes.
Oh, here, have one of mine.
Oh, it makes me cough.
That's not what the ads say.
They still make me cough.
Can we pin it on Havoc Camp?
I don't know. Good defense lawyer could blow Alma's testimony sky high.
She got a record?
Yeah. 2 counts. Drunk driving, disturbing the peace. The prints don't match with those on Jean Bellamy's address book, though. You need any cigarettes?
Uh-oh.
Everkamp's alibi's phony. Claimed to be at a movie at the Great Western Theater. It was closed that night. He was decorating.
Oh, that'll help.
Well, maybe.
Any motive?
He told us he stopped seeing Jean Bellamy 6 months ago for his family's sake. Came to his senses. Only his wife filed a divorce action on November 10th. Mental cruelty.
Just a week ago.
Yeah. A couple of days after Jean Bellamy died.
Want to talk to the wife?
Yeah, just as soon as... Guthrie.
Quiet, Ben. I found the Havoc Camp sedan.
Where is it?
The Lester Upholstery Shop, 11th Central, having new seat covers put in.
Blood stains on the upholstery?
Yeah. Havoc Camp told him he had a bad nosebleed.
We'll give him a chance to prove it.
Try the back?
No. Somebody's coming.
What is it, please?
Is Mr. Havercamp at home?
What did you want to see him about?
We're police officers.
Police?
That's right. Is he in?
No. No, he's not home.
Are you Mrs. Havercamp?
Yes.
When do you expect your husband, Mrs. Havercamp?
I don't know.
Will he be home later this evening?
I don't know.
Where is he now?
I don't know.
Could we talk to you for a few minutes, Mrs. Havercamp?
I don't know anything about my husband's affairs.
It'll only take a few minutes.
All right.
Thank you.
Now, what is it, please?
Mrs. Havercamp, does the name Jean Bellamy mean anything to you?
Yes.
Could you tell us what you know about her?
I know she was murdered about 10 days ago.
Is that all you know?
Yes.
You sure, Mrs. Haverkamp?
You said you wanted to talk to my husband. Why are you asking me all these questions?
Did you know your husband and Jean Bellamy were friends?
Yes.
You knew he'd been seeing a lot of her the past year?
Yes.
What did you think about that?
I didn't mind.
Did you do anything about it?
No.
You sure?
You've got no right to ask me questions
like... The girl's been murdered, Mrs. Haverkamp.
I had nothing to do with it.
Did your husband? Mrs. Haverkamp. He killed her, didn't he?
Yes.
Did he tell you?
Not at first.
How'd you find out? Jean Bellamy's address book?
Yes. It was on the garage floor the next morning.
Must have fallen out of the car without him knowing.
You mailed it into us?
She'd been killed. Somebody was guilty. Somebody had to pay.
Why did he kill her, Mrs. Haverkamp?
She deserved to die. She had no right to do to him what she did. She had...
Your husband?
No, that must be my daughter. She's at a party tonight. She said she'd call. May I?
Well, sure.
Hello? Yes, Beth, dear. Are you having a good time? Oh, that's wonderful, dear. You go ahead and enjoy yourself. Just try not to get back too late. Oh, yes, dear. We're all right. Just sitting around reading. Of course. Of course I'll give Daddy a big kiss for you. Goodbye, Beth. That's one of the reasons Jean Bellamy deserved to die. Our children. Taking up my husband's life and mine and our children. He was a wonderful man. A wonderful husband and father. Before he met her.
Why'd he kill her?
He'd given her up once. I thought he was all over it. Then, a week before it happened, he told me he couldn't fight it any longer. She was driving him out of his mind. He was going back to her.
What happened then?
He told me about it this afternoon. How he met her that night. Then she told him it was all off. She was going to marry somebody else. She laughed at him. I'll never forget his face as he told me about her laughing at him. I guess he went a little crazy after that.
Where's your husband now?
Out back, in the garage.
What's he doing there?
We decided that would be best for the children. Looked like an accident. He's been there almost 15 minutes.
Come on, Pete. Must be a back door in the kitchen.
Yeah, there it is.
Hit that side door.
Oh, there he is.
Here, let's get him. Okay, put him down.
How's he look, Ben?
Not too bad. Better call in.
Yeah, sure.
He looks so quiet and peaceful. He hasn't looked that well since before he met her. Is he dead?
No. He's going to live.
Oh, that's too bad. So quiet and peaceful now. And then, when he wakes up again, that's too bad.
Lineup, where before you pass the innocent, the vagrant, the thief, the murderer. Listen again next week. when we again bring you the lineup.
May I have your attention, please? To people out there on the other side of the wire in the audience room, may I have your attention, please? Thank you. My name is Cogger, Sergeant Pete Cogger. I'll explain the lineup to you. Each of the suspects you will see will be numbered. I'll call off a number, the name is Sergeant.
The lineup, starring Bill Johnstone as Lieutenant Ben Guthrie with Jack Moyles as Sergeant Pete Cogger, was written by Sidney Marshall with music by Eddie Dunstetter. Featured in tonight's cast were Jeanette Nolan, James McCallion, John McIntyre, Howard McNear, Hi Everback, Sidney Miller, and Virginia Gregg. The lineup was transcribed in Hollywood by Jaime Del Valle.
From November of 1952, it's been The Lineup in the case of Young Woman Murdered. Well, that's all the time we have for today, but join us again next week at the same time and invite a friend to listen to more great moments from the golden age of radio. I'm Craig Roberts with those fabulous days of yesteryear. Till next time, so long.
Radio, remember radio. We'd sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. The comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite show.
Preceding program copyright Edgewater Productions, all rights reserved.